Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me, taking a few moments out of your day to spend this time together in the Spirit of the Lord and in the Word of God. Well, with the Lord's help, we'll conclude a message I've been sharing this week on the restored generation. And God wants us to prosper our entire being, body, soul, and spirit, in all that He has provided for us. John says it is God's will for you to prosper and be it prosper financially and be in health, that's the physical body, even as your soul prospers. That's the spiritual dimension. The spiritual is the most important. As our spiritual prosperity grows in understanding and sanctification, then we might expect also a corresponding benefit in those other areas. Not that there's no strict, you know, God is God. He has His purpose. It just means, you know, if you're just in the vibrant health and have all kinds of money, it doesn't mean that you're really spiritual. That's not necessarily the case. But that's the heart of God, and He deals wonderfully with each one of us in a very precise and unique way. Whatever God does in my life or your life, you can't say, well, that He's going to do that in that person's life. Now, His principles don't change, but He deals very tenderly and very gently with each one of us because we're so unique. He knows our background. He knows the circumstances that have occurred in our life. He's got all of those things in hand, and he goes about things the very best way. And so, beloved, God has, he said in Genesis 8th chapter verse 22, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest shall not cease. That's true in terms of the spiritual harvest, that last gleaning of souls that is brought in both the preaching of the gospel before the end finally does come. And the principle of blessing, of sowing and reaping is important. It says in the word, give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shall men return into your bosom. And many who have believed and acted upon the word of God in respect to giving, and again, I'm not just speaking financially, have testified that indeed God's word is true. It works. And the blessings, of course, need not be limited to financial returns and harvest alone. It may come in the form of divine protection or healing or revelation, favor, prosperity in our spirit and soul. So, beloved, God wants us to be like Jesus, like our Father. And what is the principal characteristic of our God? Giving. So we have to learn to give and give and give in faith, knowing that our supply comes from God. And we need to break that spirit of poverty that has come against so many. That needs to be broken. And I'm not just speaking about not having enough money, but there's a nagging fear of insufficiency, of not having enough. And that can relate to in terms of your ability to serve God. You know, you're not smart enough. You're not anointed enough. Right now, I want to pray against it. Father, I rebuke that spirit of poverty in Jesus' name, in all areas of that the life of your beloved, Father, spiritually, health-wise, as well as financially. I break that spirit of poverty, and I loose the revelation of our God, who is able to give exceedingly above all that we could ask or think. I thank you, Lord, that spirit of poverty is gone. It's rebuked. Your people are submitted to you, and they also shall continue to resist that temptation to feel, to accept that spirit of poverty. It's broken in Jesus' name. Beloved, King David our example, type of Jesus. He was a great giver. He wouldn't offer to God anything that cost him nothing. In 1 Chronicles 29, 2 and 3, the word says, "Now for the house of my God," this is David, "I've prepared with all of my might gold for the things to be made of gold, silver for the things of silver, bronze for the things of bronze, iron for the things of iron, wood for the things of wood, onyx stones, stones to be set, glistening stones of various colors, all kinds of precious stones, and marble slabs in abundance." He couldn't give enough. "Moreover, because I've set my affection on the house of my God." See, we have a house of God. It's his body. That's the living tabernacle, not made with hands. "I've given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, mine own special treasure of gold and silver." And beloved, I don't have time to read these passages, but if you want to learn how to give liberally, there's many things that can result, a number of things, and I'm going to list just 11 with you, and I'll give the passage. We develop in the grace of giving. That's 2 Corinthians 8 and 2. We minister to the saints. That's 2 Corinthians 8 and 4. And also, we reap from what we sow. That's 2 Corinthians 8 and 6. And also, to those who are lacking, we can supply that need or that lack, 2 Corinthians 8 and 14. And it's a way of demonstrating our love. You know, faith without works is dead. We prove our love in 2 Corinthians 8 and 24. God's grace abounds toward us. That scripture is found in 2 Corinthians 9, 8. And God supplies and multiplies the seed that we would sow in obedience and in love and would increase the fruits of our righteousness. That's 2 Corinthians 9 and 10. And when we obey the Lord, we cause thanksgiving to ascend to God. 2 Corinthians 9, 11 and 12. And of course, God is glorified in all this. 2 Corinthians 9 and 13. And finally, we receive prayer and blessing from those who receive the gift, the recipients of the gift. 2 Corinthians 9 and 14. Jesus said in Matthew 10 and 8, "Freely, beloved, freely you have received." We all have. "Freely give." We're to demonstrate the character of our Father. And so, beloved, as I just would kind of summarize the, you know, the things we've been sharing this last week about the restored generation, there's going to be rejoicing and joy. You know, he will turn our mourning into gladness. Jeremiah 31 and 4 says, "You shall again be adorned with your tambourines and shall go forth in the dances of those who rejoice." You know, I mean, that when the blind man and the lame man was healed, he went into the temple jumping, leaping, and praising God. Beloved, physical expression in dance, in rejoicing, jumping, that's the sign of deliverance and healing. It's perhaps the most powerful way our bodies are used to express the joy that we feel. And then in Jeremiah 31 and 13, the word says, "Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, and the young men and the old together." Everyone, beloved, no one's left out. "For I will turn their mourning into joy, will comfort them, and make them rejoice rather than sorrow." And of course, in Psalm 149 and 3, it says, "Let them praise him with the dance, praise him with stringed instruments and organ," or flutes, another translation says. And so there's going to be a restoration of rejoicing in churches, in home groups. It's going to pick up a strong momentum. It'll catch on and spread fast in the many nations of the world. Rejoicing is going to be a sign of the restored generation. And Christians are going to show a keen interest in expressing their praise and worship to God, a very expressive form of worship. And Actually, the restoration of the dance or rejoicing and joy, it's another prophetic sign of that end time spiritual revival and harvest. And what do they do? I mean, it's an indication that the Feast of Tabernacles is upon us. You know, that Hebrew word for feast, well, I don't know Hebrew, I don't know how to pronounce it properly, but it's C-H-A-G-A-G, Shagag, which also means to dance. And one main characteristic of the Feast of Tabernacles is the rejoicing and the dance. I mean, if you've ever been to Israel, beloved, they love to dance and rejoice. That's what they do. Psalm 30 and 11 says, "You have turned for me my mourning into dancing." And Leviticus 23 and 40 says, "You shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days." That's, you know, part of the feast. It's, that's part of the feasts of the Lord that ancient Israel and modern Israel take part in. And so in this end time restored generation, God will be using the powerful dynamics of joyful worship to liberate his people physically, emotionally, as well as spiritually, not just from physical disease and healing of infirmities, but from crippling inhibitions, if you will, from inhibiting fear and self-consciousness. Beloved, he is going to bring us, the body of Christ, into that glorious liberty that belongs to the children of God. That's what God is doing in this restored generation. And beloved, I believe we're part of it, but we have to assent. We have to agree and be willing, say, "Yes, Lord, count me in. I want to be joyful before you and believe for a restoration, not only in terms of my spirit, a time of prosperity, but physically as well." There's going to be healing revivals, beloved, just as there were in the 50s with Oral Roberts and the healing movement, and as well as financially. Beloved, what a wonderful time to be alive. I don't know about you, but I just got excited reading all these scriptures. It's for us, beloved, for whomsoever will. Let's take this good news and share with those who are searching for answers, for Jesus alone is the way, the truth, and the life. And if with that final thought, I will conclude this week's worth of broadcasting, and I invite you to join with me next week. But please, let's keep in touch by mail. If you email, share your mailing address, and I'll respond back with whatever God gives me. I love you. Pray for you every day. And until next week, this is Sister Glav saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.